Welcome to the Uncommon Life Podcast, Conversations for the Whole Woman, where we dissect, explore, and innovate new ways in what it means to be a whole woman. With self-care, managing relationships, and really just understanding, defining, and redefining who it is that you are through every stage of your life. Join your host, me, Asia B, as we explore these topics and really define what it means to live life uncommonly. Today's guests are Lyle and Emily. Lyle and Emily met on Facebook in 2010 and went on to get married in 2012. They have had some crazy ups and downs in their relationships, but because of the work they put in and the strategy they created, their marriage is an example of what's possible. They have been together for 10 years and married for 8. They also have 3 boys ranging from 7 to 17. Best friends married for life. They're marriage mentors that guide you to create marriage that you've always hoped for. It does exist. You just need the tools to create it. The business of marriage helps to integrate processes, planning, and communication to manage the business of your marriage so that you have time to focus on the rest. They offer a 6-week business of marriage coaching program, and if you sign up through The Uncommon Life, you will get a 15% off the program. They evaluate your marriage, create a strategy, and guide you through implementation so that your marriage can thrive even in the challenge and chaos. Join us today as we welcome Lyle and Emily.
So tell me a little bit about your love story. I know you guys met on Facebook.
Yeah.
So tell me how did that happen?
So we had mutual friends. We lived about, 3 hours away? 3.5 hours away. Yeah. We have mutual friends, and they would tell me, oh, you should meet this Emily girl, and they'd tell her, oh, you should meet this Lyle girl. And we're like, yeah, whatever.
You just called yourself a girl.
Or this Lyle guy, sorry. And like, yeah, whatever. And so Emily stalked me on Facebook and found me.
I did not.
She stalked you?
No, she found me on Facebook. We hadn't officially met yet through our friends, and so we just started talking on Facebook, and the rest is history.
Okay. So you guys had to, like, she friend requested you, and then you accepted?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think so.
Okay.
That was a very long time ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure it seems like a long time ago. So tell me first a little bit about your life setup. How are things going? You guys moved across the country from your hometown, so how was that?
We moved from Ohio to Washington State, and then here to Peoria.
Okay.
It was fine, right? Like we Lyle lived in Washington. I moved there with my 2 older boys, and that's where we got married.
Okay.
And then, but we're both from Ohio, and then we moved here with Lyle's job about a year later.
Okay.
And then we have been here for
seven years.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you think this is going to be home?
We don't know. I mean, so here's the thing. Just being brutally honest, when we first moved to Peoria, we didn't know anybody. We had no family out here at all. She was 9 months pregnant when we moved out here with Jacob. And we hated Peoria just because we didn't, like, here we are with 2 little boys and a brand new baby, and we're like, what do we do? You know, and I mean, there were some people that rallied around us and were awesome, but we couldn't really fit in. But since Emily's a business owner now and like the talk of the town in Peoria, and I'm making friends and stuff, like, we definitely feel like we now have family here. We have a really good connection with people, and so it's starting to grow on us a lot.
We were supposed to be here for a year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what. Lyle was in a management program. We were supposed to be here for a year. This was just a stop on the path. And then he switched jobs, so we've just been here ever since.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So 1 year turned into 7, so it might be a little while longer.
Yeah. We're cool with it.
Yep. What do you guys say the foundation of your relationship is?
I say the foundation of our relationship is service.
Wow.
Because when you're not thinking about what you can get and what you can do for yourself, then you see things from a bigger picture.
And I would also add in there, I think there's kind of two keystones in it, and service is definitely one. I think communication is definitely another.
Yeah.
Communication is something that we sucked at first, but now I feel like it's one of our strengths.
Okay. And what did you guys do to improve your communication?
I talked a lot.
So kind of getting back to service, like, we could have stayed in the same place that we were, you know, where, you know, I was afraid to get into arguments. I hated to fight. I never saw my parents fight. Like, I thought that if you were fighting with your spouse or arguing with your spouse, that means you were doing something totally wrong and it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I love to fight.
She loves to fight. And I say this in the nicest way possible, but she doesn't care about feelings. Like, right?
I really don't.
And so we could have stayed there, but if it wasn't for the service part of it, where she wanted to get better for me and I wanted to get better for her, we would have never changed how we communicated and the length to which we communicated. And so kind of having those two as both our pillars, kind of one helped the other and vice versa, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. What did you mean when you said she doesn't care about feelings? Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, and it's good, and I need this, but like, Emily, I'm a touchy-feely guy. I can't help it. I'm motivated by emotion and stuff like that, where Emily's more facts. Like, this is, like, she'll just put it out on the table. And she's not mean about it.
I'm a businesswoman.
But yeah, she's not mean about it. No. But she's like, here are the facts. I don't care if this makes you uncomfortable. I don't care if this hurts your feelings. We need to talk about it. And that's what I needed.
Okay. Okay.
She wasn't mean and like, you know, whatever. But she was just, she made up for where I lacked. And I kind of made up for where she lacked in that.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So she just maybe came more direct than you were used to.
Absolutely.
100%. Okay. Because you still do. Okay. But the communication has helped when you guys are navigating those difficult times, or what would you say is a pillar to help you navigate?
So I actually think that what really changed in that is not so much that we needed to communicate as well as we needed to understand that we're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, I approach conflict and challenges different than he does, but we have the same goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest kind of light bulb for both of us, is that when I would approach conflict in one way and he would approach it in this other way and be offended about how I approached it, we were actually fighting against each other instead of fighting together towards the same goal. And when we realized that was happening and we changed our perspective, now we can talk about these issues, whatever they are, and he can understand that I'm not trying to hurt his feelings, and I can understand that he's not trying to back down from handling this. We just handle things differently because we're different humans.
Okay.
And we you know, again, to be completely transparent, we kind of dug the hole that we had to pull ourselves out of, in that we did in the very beginning, just like a lot of relationships, ours was rocky and we did hurt each other. We were definitely not playing for the same team. And because of that, then we got scarred and then I would feel like, well, wait, maybe she's, you know, trying to get one over on me or vice versa. And it was, yeah, we had to come to the understanding that we're not two different people pulling in different directions. We're one person together pulling, you know, in the same way. And that's, like she said, that's when the communication started to be a little bit easier.
Okay. So you say that you guys kind of dug a hole within your relationship in the beginning, you hurting her, her hurting you. How did you guys get back to the place where you actually trusted each other outside of just saying, you know, we're on the same team? Because that sounds good, but sometimes when you're in the midst of pain and you feel like, you know, on some level, a sense of betrayal, you know, when someone hurts you, especially the one that's closest to you, What would you say, what advice would you give someone who's in the midst of that, a couple that's in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that hole, and they're just like, you know what, we should just call it quits because there's no way out?
We actually, so two and a half years ago, something like that, we were actually at that place. I was kind of fed up, and I'm a business person. You know, that's just how my mind, you know, configures everything, is from that business perspective. And so I called Lyle on my way home and I said, hey, I want you to meet me at Kep's, which is a sports bar. And I said, we're going to have dinner and we're going to have a meeting. And I sat down with him and he was terrified. And I just said, listen, these are the problems. I had them all laid out. And we talked about it in a very frank, like, business meeting manner. Like, we sat down, like, this is a business meeting. We're going to talk about the problems. We're going to talk about the challenges. We're going to talk about the good things. But I let him know right there, like, if we can't figure out a solution to these problems, I'm done with this relationship. And there was something about that approach where we were in a public place, right? So there couldn't be any I mean, guess there could, but there wouldn't for us be any, like, food throwing or drama or anything crazy. And it somehow cut the emotions down to where we could really focus on the problem. And it was kind of this big aha moment that we needed to do this more often, to get out of our house and to get out of the emotional chaos that these problems create, to figure out how to fix it. Just like it would be a problem in my business, you have to find a solution. You don't throw a big old baby fit in your business when you have a problem. Right. You just figure out how to fix it. So when we did that, we walked away and everything has gotten better since.
So I guess one of the things, again, it's not the location. I mean, the location was big, that it was out in public, that it was, like, not this intimate in your bedroom or in your living room environment, but it was also that there wasn't a fight, there wasn't an argument that produced this meeting. It was just fact-based, hey, these are the things that's going on, let's talk about them. Again, I'm an emotional person. There was little emotion involved. Other than I was scared to crap, it was, she was asking me to go to this restaurant after I'd worked like 10 hours. It was not like her. But with all that said, it just made it a lot easier to communicate because our defenses weren't up. You know, we're sitting around a plate of food, which makes a difference. You know, it was a casual atmosphere.
Okay. So you guys now have, like, quarterly check-ins. So you laid the foundation during that one meeting, and now you check in quarterly. Give it like a little bit of insight into what that looks like as far as the quarterly meetings. Like, do you guys just go over the original information, or is it like an evolution?
Well, we call it the state of the marriage meeting.
So serious.
Sounds presidential.
Right?
You know, I feel like it suits me, but we go in, we know we're going to do it. We plan it in advance. We come in with our lists and we always make sure that we, trying to think of the right word. We aren't just there with a list of grievances.
No, we have fun.
Yeah, it's fun. But we also are there, like, talking about just like a quarterly business meeting. This is what's going amazing right now. And here's why we think that is. And this is what really is challenging right now. And let's figure out a plan.
And, yeah, as I say, and a lot of it is planning. Like, I would say every meeting we have less and less grievances. It doesn't have any, but it's easier to air them out. But a lot of it is planning. Like, okay, this is where we're at right now. We're so much better than where we were, but where do we want to be? You know, that's a big part of our meetings. Another big part, one of the things that I think helps too, is we talk about a lot of different things and we don't get hung up on one topic. We have three amazing but ornery boys. We don't sit there and talk about our kids the whole time, because a marriage is more than that. Like, we want them to see us as functioning husband and wife, so we need to take care of everything, not just the kids. So we kind of piece it out. If we're talking about one thing, it's only for a little bit. We talk about it, figure it out, and move on.
And it's structured so, like, it's not somebody coming out with a complaint that's like a surprise out of nowhere. Like, mm-hmm. we know going into it that we're going to have challenges that both of us have separately and both of us have together as a relationship that we have to address. We know that going in. So it's not like that huge, like, shock to the system or something that you're immediately offended about and trying to, like, defend yourself. We already know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the process, and, you know, with growth, there always has to be something to overcome in order to next level. So we kind of view it that way. But we spend, like Lyle said, less and less time actually talking about these things because the process of these meetings has taught us to interact in between better.
It's kind of like, and I've heard this used for other things, but it's kind of true. It's kind of like the meetings are the telephone lines or the telephone poles,
mm-hmm.
right? And the lines that go in between the poles are really where the electricity comes from. That's where the power comes from.
Right.
Well, poles to kind of talk about what's going on, but what we learn, the processes and the information that we learn in those meetings, in between those meetings is where the real work starts. Just like in a business, like, you know, I've been in businesses where you can meeting to death and nothing gets done. But if you have good, solid meetings so far apart, everything in between is where all the magic happens.
Yeah. You know, I really like the approach that you take it in, like, the business, like you take a business model when you're approaching these meetings, because I personally believe that marriage is business. I feel that you have to have clear goals and objectives to have a successful marriage. I feel like you have to have check-ins. Because I think a lot of times we get so infatuated and caught up in, like, the love aspect or the happiness aspect. And I think that that is, like, an issue long term, because the truth is you're not always going to feel in love. And the truth is you're not always going to feel happy. Sometimes you're, like, at odds. It's a stage of your relationship where you're going from one stage to the next. And so I think approaching it more of a business minded, what is the core, what are we trying to achieve here? What is the core of who we are becoming together? What are we committed to? And I think keeping those objectives and goals, will actually keep you focused on, like, long term.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're Christians, and, but I've had Christian people be like, oh, you know, marriage isn't a business, but I think they're looking at it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage isn't work, and that's what they're thinking of. Work, I clock in, I clock out, I go home, and I forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I learned from Emily, because I've never been a business owner, watching her be a business owner, that business is your lifeblood. And that business, you don't clock in, you don't clock out, you tackle problems. And at first, it's awesome, and at first, it's like you're in love with the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that little while, because then all these things come in that you weren't even aware of, that, you know what I mean? From bills to emergencies, to COVID, to everything else. And it's just like a marriage, you know, kids, and it's no are more than, you know, what movie are we going to see? It's, you know, oh my gosh, I didn't know he snored, or oh my gosh, I didn't know she decorated for Christmas on Halloween. Like, you know, like
I do.
And just like a business, if you don't have the right approach, if you don't have the communication, the processes, and the plan, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
And marriage is the exact same thing. If you don't put in the process, you do it because you love that person. You love the marriage. You love the business. But if you don't have those things set in place, it's not going to last. So if you don't treat it like a business, you're basically just saying, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. So I know you guys are, like, just different in the way that you approach things. Emily being a business owner, she's a lot more analytical. You're a lot more feelings-based, and things like that. How do you pour into each other in the relationship, knowing that like how you are fundamentally is a little bit different?
I think that really we're super intentional about it.
Okay.
My natural inclination is not to be all touchy-feely and warm and cozy and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a down to business person, and that's how I operate just about everything. So, but knowing that he is that way, doesn't, just because I don't function that way primarily doesn't mean I'm not capable.
Mm.
Well, learning that and knowing that that's how he feels love and that's how he feels cherished and adored because I want him to feel that way. I'm totally cool with making myself uncomfortable for a while to meet that need for him.
Hmm.
And vice versa. You know, it's about that's the service aspect in seeing that it's uncomfortable for me to be touchy-feely. It really, really is. But if I look at it even from a selfish perspective, in the long run, if I do that for him, I'm the one that's going to benefit because he's going to appreciate me even more and love me even more and work harder to serve me in the ways that I feel loved even more.
And then it becomes habitual.
Yeah. Then it's like a game. It's kind of fun.
I like that. I like flipping it to making, and I like the concept of because you are not naturally that way doesn't mean that you're not capable. That was a real moment, because it is like sometimes we think this is just the way that I am. This is just the person that I am. And I think when you're in relationship, you have the opportunity, I'm going to call it an opportunity, to stretch yourself and become a different version of yourself and a better, I'm going to even say better version of yourself, because you're expanding who you naturally are to become more supportive, more loving, and more service-based, as you guys say, in your relationship.
And, you know, I used to say that. I used to say, this is just who I am. You know, take it or leave it, honey. This is who. But I realized that I can say that all day long, but is it getting the job done? And is it even serving myself to be set in stone with that? It's really not.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help either of us grow. And it definitely doesn't help us grow together.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier, we were talking a little bit like where we've came from the beginning, from when we first started dating or talking or whatever. And like, it's amazing how, I don't want to say different we are, because we're really not different, we're better, how much better we are. And that could have never been done without that constant gentle pressure that each of us put on each other to become better.
Hmm.
You know, she challenges me to be more analytical, to have more follow through, to have more thought and dig deeper than, you know, surface level, which is what I struggle with. And I challenge her to be, you know, more emotional or be more touchy-feely or be, you know, sometimes let loose and have fun or whatever. And had we not done that for each other, then we wouldn't be nearly as good as we are now.
So you said it's been about 2.5 years and you feel like everything has like transformed completely?
We're definitely not perfect.
Yeah, we're not perfect. We still have like, you know, bad days, bad weeks, bad months, but totally 180 mm-hmm. change. Okay. Totally.
Okay.
And the processes and the plans that we put together aren't for the easy times, because we know how to deal with the easy times. The process, just like a business, the process and plans you put together are when things go off the rails. How do you get it back on? How do you know where to pick up once you get it back on? And so things still get off the rails. They just do. I mean, again, we have 3 kids. My God. But you know Asia.
I know.
But because of how we started to handle things, it's just a bump in the road, not a wall in the road.
Good.
Creating the process, treating our marriage like a business, dealing with the processes, the strategies, the way that we handle things, the way that we communicate, all of those things, the priorities, you know, dealing with all those things, the business piece of our marriage has made it easier to handle the soft parts of our marriage, the relational parts. And before, I used to try to stay away from as much as I could because we fought, or like I was mad at him quietly inside my head, resenting him for something, you know. I didn't want to be anywhere near him. But now, like, the first, I can't wait to spend time with him every single day.
That's awesome.
For me, it's funny that she said that, because, like, if she was mad at me about something, you know, whether 99% of the time she was right to be mad at me, or that 1% where she wasn't, but if she was mad at me, like, I knew that that was going to last for days. Mm. Now, we get it out in the open, we talk about it, and then, you know, the next time we see each other when we come home from work or whatever, everything's back to normal. And I'm telling you, as somebody that is emotions driven, that is the biggest peace of mind that I have, because I hated.
He hates conflict.
I do. And so now let's get it out and let's talk and be mad at me. But I know she won't hold that grudge for days, because we have the processes in place to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. It sounds also like you guys have created a space for the challenges, but also created the space where you can face it head on. Because I think that's, like you were saying, one of the biggest things in relationships is people just don't have the conversation. And that's even in, like, you know, romantic relationships, but also, like, with family members. Like, people just avoid having the conversation. And so then everybody's holding on to the resentment or whatever level, you know, that they feel. And I think it just creates more distance and more divide, rather than just having the conversation, really making, you know, calling a thing a thing. And then how do we pull ourselves out of this? What do you think? What do I think? And let's move forward. Because at the end of the day, when you're in marriage, when you're in partnership, it's important that you pull yourself out of it. Like, nobody wants to be miserable with the person that they lay with every night.
You know what happens when it doesn't get talked about? You and everyone else involved creates a story in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Of, this is what they're thinking. This is why they did this. Mm-hmm. This is what next. This is what they're telling their friends. This is what's happening. And it's all this fictional story we're creating in our head, but it's because it hasn't been dealt with. And then it makes us even more angry or sad or hurt or whatever. And it's all this fiction that we're creating in our head, whereas when you just talk about it, let it come out, find out the truth, it eliminates the story. It eliminates the excess emotional drainage that you are causing yourself and the mental energy, and you get the solution. Most of the time, the mental story we're making up is, like, maybe 1% truth. Because we're super imaginative creatures.
Right? So great. I always say, like, I'm probably, like, the most creative person. I can create a storyline. Do you hear me? Like, I'm talking about blockbuster storylines. And then they're like, where did you get that from? Like, where did that come from? And so I realize, you know, even in, like, you know, friendships, that I have to at least say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. And the other time they're like, well, I'm happy you told me, because this is not even... That wasn't even on my radar. I was looking at it from this perspective. So I definitely think having the conversation is important. So I want to talk a little bit about how quarantine, you know, we're in a very unique situation. And, you know, Emily, being a business owner, I'm sure business has taken a hit this year with, you know, the COVID-19, the quarantine, all of the shelter in place orders. How has that impacted your relationship? Because now you're going from having, you know, your outside space where you can come together at night or come together, you know, during the day, to constantly being together.
The first couple of weeks was a little weird, I'm not going to lie. Like, because even, like, for business, from a business owner's standpoint, like, I got busier because I had more pieces to juggle. I had, you know, I do it all from home. My whole family's in the house. Like, it was,
and I was late
12 hour days, and him there with nothing to do.
Sounds fun.
He would stand in my doorway of my office with this little puppy dog look at me like, what are you doing? I did all day. Like, I don't understand. So it took a couple weeks to get used to, you know, not even just us, but, like, all of everybody under the whole roof and not ever doing anything, you know, outside of that. But I would say it was actually like super good for our relationship.
Had it happened 2 years ago,
oh, he'd be dead.
Yeah. That would have been the straw. But no, I think because of the, again, I talk about it all the time, the plans and the processes we had in place, we actually were in the communication that we had, we actually did better. Like, I couldn't believe how good we did, and just helping each other. And she would tell me, like, hey, you need to get outside, go take a walk, do something. And I could tell, okay, I'm starting to get on her nerves, so let me do that. You know, I mean, we could have that. And before, that would have hurt my feelings. Like, oh, my gosh, she doesn't even want to be around me. So, it honestly, like, I was surprised at how well it went once we got into that routine.
And it gave us space to, like, serve each other in different ways, which it was the weirdest. It's been the weirdest experience ever, because you don't plan for this, right? And you have no idea what to do with it. But Lyle started cooking, which is something that he's never done before, and he did an amazing job. And since I was working so much, like, it was just such a blessing to not have to have that thing on my plate anymore.
Yeah.
And we really became even more of a team during that time, because Lyle had always worked outside the home. And before I was a business owner, I was a stay-at-home homeschooling mom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything in the house has always fallen on my shoulders, even when I started my businesses. So he was home more to see, oh, you know, this is why we need this. And this is why it drives her crazy when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see the full spectrum of the picture. So I think it benefited us. Yeah.
Yeah.
What advice, because it looks like we may be going back into a shelter in place type of situation. What advice would you give for a couple that's not as strong, not as united, they don't have the systems in place? What advice would you give them on just how to navigate it?
So I'm really, really bad with schedules, like planning out my day. But I think that's important. I think, you know, setting those boundaries, and Emily saying, hey, from this time to this time, door shut, I'm working hands off. And, you know, and for me, it would be like, hey, you know, I'm going to have dinner ready at this time, or, hey, I need to work on this myself at this time, and setting those
expectations.
And then also make sure, here's the easy thing to happen. When you're in your house together all the time, you don't make time for each other if you're not careful, because, you know, you see each other all the time and it's kind of like just second nature. But you actually have to commit to that time. Hey, we're going to watch TV tonight, or hey, let's have a mini date tonight, and order DoorDash when the kids go to bed, or whatever it is. But be deliberate about the time together and the time separate.
Yeah, it's really being intentional, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have to be intentional. What do we want to happen through this? Like, I'm a goal-oriented person. And I think that's just the business thing again, right? That,
mm-hmm.
But when we get on the other side of this, how do we want to leave it? You know, do we want to leave it pissed off at each other and ready to sign those papers? Or do we want to use the space? We didn't ask for it, but it's here. So do we want to use it as a tool to grow together?
And you have to also go a little easy on each other too, because it's more than just now we're homing. It's the stress of what's it going to look like when we're done? Like, you know, am I going to have a job? Am I going to have my business? Like all these things. And it's like this just pressure. And you got to cut each other breaks too. I think that's important. And again, that's where that communication comes in.
Yeah.
And being able to say, hey, yeah, I snapped at you. It wasn't necessarily about you. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm feeling. And work them out together. But know that that's going to go on, because we're living in a weird world where we've never had this type of pressure and situations before.
Okay. Yeah, no, I totally get that. I think that that's extremely helpful. I really love the part where you said about what do we want to look like at the end, you know,
yeah.
Well, how do we want to come out of this? Cause I believe that everything starts with intention. And so I think as you're thinking about your intention, you're thrown into what they call a new normal, and you're thrown into this. We haven't seen this, you know, we've had a level of, I'm going to say freedom, you know, up until that point, and you just never, your mind can't even conceive what that would look like. And just the dynamics, not only of the relationship, but then also managing three children in a house at that time, I know can be a strain. And we've seen tons of people who have called it quits, you know, as a result of being, you know, in the house together. They're like, who are you? Like, what have I done? Like, and sometimes it was necessary, you know, for some people. And sometimes I think it could have been salvaged, you know, if they had the tools and the tricks. So I know you guys, speaking of tools, I know you guys are starting a new venture together, assisting other couples. So tell me a little bit about that and how that sparked.
You know, so we have, you know, lots of business owner friends and just friends in town. And after we were able to start, you know, going to restaurants and stuff again, I think we went to a restaurant every single weekend just to like get it in because it's so long.
Oh yeah. So
double dating and hanging out with friends, and everybody would always say to us, man, how did you guys get this marriage? Like, I want this. And, you know, and we, you know, would just chuckle it off. Yeah, well, you know, I would tell everybody, I trained him well, you know. but, like, some people actually came to us seriously asking us for advice and stuff. And we thought, well, what we have is different. And we recognize that. And we never really intentionally thought about how we got there, like, you know, tracing our steps. So we decided to do that. So that if someone really did want help, we really could drive them in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And we realized that if we look at marriage through the eyes of business and you get the business of marriage in order, then it frees up so much time and space and energy to work on the relational portion of marriage. I was a psychology major in college, and I'm a certified marriage and couples peer counselor. So I have a lot of that knowledge. It's something that I've been passionate about for a while. And we just thought if we can help somebody to possibly have what we have, we would love to help them do that.
Okay. So you guys developed a course, a 6-week course?
Yes. It's a coaching program.
Okay. And you guys work with people one-on-one and take them through like a series of different tasks and...
We work with the couple, and we do both individual and together sessions with, you know, homework and stuff like that, just to help get their house in order, you know?
Okay.
And again, we're you know, in no way, shape, or form are we a type of therapy or anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, again, it's planning the communication, the processes, and the plans. And helping just kind of change people the way they look at marriage. And honestly, that sounds so little, but that's such a big step for people, is just to look at marriage, you know, completely different than they've been taught or that they've been showed. And we believe that by doing that, you know, the light bulb is going to go on. And if we can, you know, if we can save one couple, it's been worth it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say to us, I don't want my marriage to be a business. But it is already. Addressing that, then that means you have no control over what is happening. And if you have no control over what is happening, then you're not going to get the result that you want.
If you have a passion for something and it's not a business, what is it? It's a hobby. Mm-hmm. You don't want your marriage to be a hobby.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. So what do you guys think? Every marriage is different, and people, I know you guys mentioned that you are more faith-centered, you are Christians. Let's talk about fidelity and being faithful in a marriage. How do you guys maintain, or do you have any tips and tricks in place that you would recommend for people that may be struggling with that?
Look at me. you know, it goes back to service and communication. Mm-hmm. You know, you committed to this person, and you know, you for the long haul. whether whatever your beliefs are or not, I mean, marriage should be until death do us part, right? Like, that's the end game, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you owe it to this person to, a lot of times, the infidelity starts with emotion, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the infidelity starts with a lack of communication. So it's really strengthening the core with the communication and the wanting to serve the other person. And by doing that, it's going to, not all the time, but help eliminate the infidelity part of it.
And it's just choices, right? Like, we're all grown-ass people. Mm-hmm. And these choices before us, and there is always a decision to make. And, you know, there's ways to safeguard your marriage from it, for sure. Like, you know, make sure that you're having sex with your partner and enjoying it and making it fun and truly enjoying that time together. And be the partner that you want to see in your partner. But, you know, as a grown-ass person, when that opportunity comes your way, you can say no. And that is the biggest thing, is to realize that no one's forcing you to make this decision. Instead, like, those things happen, right? We're mm-hmm. human. Mm-hmm. And having the conversation, deciding what you want that to look like after the fact, cleaning up the mess, you know, and fixing the wound, there can be a great relationship still after that happens. But
takes a lot of work.
All of the things that we do, it's about work on both people's part. You know, one person can't come and say, he cheated on me, but I want my marriage to work. And he's like, no, I'm out, sister. I ain't coming back no more. You're not fixing that.
No, I like that. So how do you guys keep it spicy?
You know, the biggest thing is that we are each other's safe zone. Mm-hmm. So we are open to conversations. You know, we're open to trying things. And we're not going to judge each other. If you know, if he comes to me and tells me something crazy, I'm not going to be like, you crazy. I'm not doing that. Talk about it and, you know, think about it and realizing that it's meant to be fun.
Okay.
It is. It's like the funnest part.
One of the biggest turn-ons for me, I guess, is that we're really stupid when we're together. Could hear our conversations, like when we just like lay down in bed and watch TV or whatever, we have the dumbest conversations. We're cracking each other up, and it's like foreplay for the mind, I guess, if mm-hmm. you will. Like, because we're so safe, and you know, we're each other's safe place, and we enjoy being around each other. It makes everything else after that just so much more powerful.
And one thing that I have found is that when marriage is hard and you do not have sex with your partner, it makes it harder.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Because even when I don't like him, and even when I want to rip his face off, if we have sex, at least we're connecting somehow.
Yeah.
And it's at least that one thing that we have to connect us, to get us through to the next thing. And after we walk away, I'm like, okay, I do like him.
Like, well, I guess he's not so bad.
Well, there was that, I guess.
I like that. So how do people get in contact with you? How do they find out more about your course?
We have Facebook and Instagram page, The Business of Marriage. You can find us on there. And we're both on Facebook as well. And we are always happy to talk. And if we can't help you, we'll tell you. You know, we need us have the time to, you know, to spend with, you know, wasting your time and your money. And also, if we find ourselves in a situation where it's something beyond our expertise, we always have resources, counselors, psychiatrists, to send people to as well. So you don't have to worry about like talking to us and like thinking that we're going to try to handle something super intense, because we know our bounds.
Yeah.
And all that.
Okay, good. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for sharing your journey, your story, and just some tips, because I think that, you know, as you navigate relationships, I always say, just because you have a length of time in a marriage or a relationship, it doesn't mean that it's been successful or happy. And so I always believe in just learning from people who have taken control of their relationships and then also set it up for success long term. So I thank you for sharing. And
thank you so much to my guests, Lyle and Emily. I really enjoyed talking to them, hearing their story, and diving into the business of marriage. Join us for the next episode where we'll have another relationship chat and talk about friendships. See you guys soon.